So I'm on the line with John Rittenberger, author of the editorial on the targeted temperature management study we just discussed. John, what does this mean? Should we be changing our protocols?
Now, that's an excellent question. What we really need to do is figure out the right subgroup of patient who needs hypothermia therapy. And there's very possible that there's actually a dose relation. So there may be some patients who actually need 33 degrees for 24 hours. There may be a population that actually needs 33 degrees for 48 or 72 hours. Alternatively, perhaps some of the patients that are less brain injured on arrival only need 36 degrees, as they've done in this trial, for 24 hours. And so really what we need to start doing is stratifying our patients based on their organ system dysfunction. So one method to do that is to look at their neurologic illness on arrival, and perhaps taking folks that have just moderate brain injury and separating those out from patients with more severe brain injury. This may be one method for us to determine who needs deeper hypothermia and who just needs temperature management. But I really do want to accentuate that this drives home the point that we must take care of this vital sign, and we cannot let these patients become febrile. There's a lot of data out there, both from our shop as well as the data from Zeiner in 2001, that demonstrated fever is, you know, bad for neuronal cells. And that's been illustrated both in humans as well as in the animal population.
Everything you say is absolutely true, but I need to hear where the rubber meets the road, because I'm going to be asked for a whole bunch of places in the New York City Hypothermia Collaborative, what temp should we be using? And that's what I need to know to write our own protocol. Are you going to be taking your patients to 36 or 33 in your protocol tomorrow?
Well, that is not a decision made simply by me, first and foremost.
Sure.
But they do make a very compelling argument for at least a subset of these patients to be taken to 36 and potentially run, you know, less risks that are associated with hypothermia. As you saw, they, you know, found more hypokalemia in that group, and it is not without its risks. So, you know, for this population, yes, there will be some folks that, you know, will receive targeted temperature management to 36. That said, we'll still have some folks that are going to have induced hypothermia to 33.
That's very fair. And do you have any clinical guidance for which patients you'd be taking, assuming you were the one making the decision, to 33 at the bedside?
Without the advantage of my colleagues and wiser minds to advise me at the moment, I would say that right now, potentially the patients who have deeper, more severe coma, or in our local categorization, the Category 4 patients, those will probably be the folks that we, you know, would want to cool.
Now, folks, just as an aside, because I've talked with John on countless occasions, and I know the categorization system he uses and the folks at Pitt use. Here's the deal. Category 1 for them, patients awake following commands. Category 2, moderate coma, brainstem reflexes, some neurological activity, no cardiovascular or pulmonary compromise, or if they have some, just a little bit. Category 3 is, again, that moderate coma, but these patients have cardiopulmonary failure. And then category 4 is deep coma, patients without brainstem reflexes. So when he says category 4, he's talking about that patient who's essentially doing nothing on arrival.
And then, or at least those would be the folks we would consider cooling to 33. And then many of the other patients, and certainly those in a lighter coma, perhaps the type 2s and type 3s that we have, those folks, I think they very well may benefit from 36 just as much as 33.
All right. Very fair. Is there anything else you want to add to help people interpret this study?
So there were two very important studies that came out yesterday, both this and the one from Francis Kim. And so, you know, to everyone out in the resuscitation community as well as emergency medicine, this illustrates the need for us to take care of these patients in a standardized fashion and to not withdraw support early. And so the temperature matters. It's just that, you know, the degree, you know, we're talking about which degree you want, but controlling that organ system, along with controlling all of the other organ systems, is critically important. And I would note to you that we have, you know, survival in a research protocol in 2002 in the placebo arm was 29-33 sort of percent, and now it's 50. So we cannot backslide to where we were a decade ago with this patient population.
Fantastic stuff, John. I know you need to get to a shift, and I can't thank you enough for coming on the podcast.
Thanks so much, Scott. Have a good night.
Well, there you have it, the opinions of John Rittenberger, accomplished resuscitationist, clinical leader of the post-arrest team at UPitt, and editorialist for the TTM trial. Where am I going to go with this? Well, for me, I think the asystole patients, if we feel they do have the clinical benefit of targeted temperature management, probably should still be cooled to the 33. This is the group we do not know about. These are the people most likely to be in this category 4 John was talking about, and these are probably the patients I'm going to continue taking down to 33. For the rest, probably 36. All right, hope to hear your thoughts. Scott Weingart, MCRIT Podcast. Bye-bye.